I love that you talked about moose in the water, because a lot of people don't realize that moose will actually dive down and swim.
A moose is, oh, side note, a moose's only natural predator is an orca whale.
Yes. How crazy is that?
They have literally found moose skeletons in orcas. Like, mind blowing.
Welcome to Wild Development Studio. Join us as we venture into the breathtaking realm of wildlife arts and untamed adventures. With captivating stories from the field and ideas to dive into the visual arts, we'll ignite your passion for conservation. Get ready to develop something wild.
Welcome to Wild Developments. I am your host, Lauren, and I am always seeking and trying new ways to connect you guys to nature. And the latest adventure is a nature book club at Bike Trail Books. It is right in Loveland, Ohio. And if you are in town, we'd love to see you there. It is in the heart of downtown Loveland by the bike trail. We're kicking off our first meeting talking about The Last Caretaker by Jessica Strasser. She is a Cincinnati author, and she's been known to sign her books at the Bike Trail Bookstore. So I suggest you grab your copy there. No guarantees it'll be signed, though. I have already read this book, and man, oh man, it has everything. Action, adventure, suspense, mystery. I laughed, I cried. It was an instant favorite. Join me May 7th at 6:30 p.m. in Bike Trail Books for some great conversation, and I'll even be sending people home with some ideas to get started in your own nature journaling journey, or maybe even a book journal journey. Today, I'm talking to Persephone Jane. She is an author, motivational speaker, and holistic coach for her company, Moose Haven Holistic Coaching. She helps people uncover emotional truths free of judgment or shame. She also does emotional IQ assessments. She is a nature enthusiast, and as you can tell by her name, she loves moose. Well, hello, Persephone. Thank you so much for being here today.
Good morning.
Now, you are the founder of Moose Haven Holistic Coaching. Love the name. What inspired it? And tell us a little bit more about your business.
So holistic coaching is, you know, the whole person. And where I start with that, or kind of focus that, is emotional intelligence. My brain is scattered. My personal background is in Montessori and education. And the reason that Montessori spoke to me as an educational model was because it was holistic. It was about the whole child, not just about their numbers and their letters. And so that kind of resonated with me personally as an educator, but then also as a parent. And so that kind of has fueled everything that I've done since, as far as really diving into the emotional side of adults, because I recognized that in classrooms, I had children who were 3 and 4 and 5, and I was teaching them emotional regulation. And at the same time, in the evenings, their parents would come pick them up, and I would have to teach their parents emotional regulation as well. And the idea that there wasn't a huge change in the way that I dealt with both was very eye-opening, and it helped me realize that adults need emotional regulation just as much as children do, maybe more, because they've had years of dealing without it. So that just kind of informed everything that I've done since. So the coaching is the adult aspect of what I was doing in the Montessori classroom. It's helping adults dig into their own emotions, learn how to feel their own emotions, figure out what their emotions mean, and how all of that affects every part of their life. Moose Haven is a personal thing. Years ago, for a ridiculous reason, researched moose as like a mascot, I'm going to say. And just everything I read about them was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's amazing. I love it. Like things like they're viewed as clumsy, but they're actually very, very graceful because of the way they move through the water and how they have, like, that's their main, like the marshes and stuff. And so there's like this duality there. They're very protective of their young. So they're very like nurturing and family focused. And so just everything I read about them was like, oh my gosh. And they very quickly and very massively became like my personal, I want to say spirit animal, but I know we're not supposed to say that, but there's no other term I've come across in any culture that describes the way that moose speak to my soul.
You feel connected to them. You identify with them.
Yes. And not just like, oh, I think they're cool, but like on a spiritual, emotional, soul level. Anyway, so I ended up collecting moose things, as one does. And, you know, at some point my husband was like, we need to put these things somewhere. And I was like, oh, we need to make a little moose haven, you know, like a little space for them to live. And it just became this thing. In every house we have moose haven. It's wherever I keep the majority of my moose things. And so, you know, when looking at naming the coaching business, I was like, well, I mean, it is just me, but also, you know, because of the aspects of what a moose is, it kind of fits. That's a really long answer for a really simple question. I'm sorry.
No, that's perfect. I love that explanation. I love that you talked about moose in the water, because a lot of people don't realize that moose will actually dive down and swim.
A moose is, side note, a moose's only natural predator is an orca whale.
Yes. How crazy is that?
They have literally found moose skeletons in orcas. Like, mind blowing.
That is awesome. Yeah. Moose are so cool. So yeah. That's an awesome, awesome name. And I wish you the best with that company. And in the bottom people can of your website, people can sign up and says, join the Moosey Revolution. What is that?
You know, it's literally just a, like, it's a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's an acceptance. It's a like diving into, unintended, of just accepting who you are and how that affects how you walk through the world.
Love that. And in your website, you also talk a lot about emotional intelligence. How do we dive into that and explore that more?
So for now, like with my coaching, the way that we would dive into that is that we do an actual assessment. Like practically speaking, that's what we do. There's an assessment called the EQI 2.0, and it's a scientifically psychological assessment that you would do, that gives you quantified results. So you know how you take a test online and you're like, oh, what kind of cupcake am I, right? It's not that kind of assessment. This one is actually quantified by scientific research. And it gives you a holistic picture of your emotional intelligence, kind of like an EQ, or sorry, like an IQ test gives you a picture of your academic intelligence. This assessment gives you a picture of your emotional intelligence, and you get results, and we look at those results and we see where the areas are balanced or not balanced, and we discuss what that might mean for you. And so, like, if someone was to come to me today through my website, that's what we would do. Not everyone has to. We can do coaching that doesn't start with that assessment, but the assessment is the most efficient thing if emotional intelligence is what you're looking for. Outside of that, where someone would start with emotional intelligence is really just an awareness of how they feel, first off. And then second, once they are comfortable recognizing how they feel in variety of situations or whatever, then the next step is to recognize how those feelings affect an outcome. So they affect a conversation, they affect a relationship, they affect your mood for the rest of the day, whatever that is. That would be the two steps that someone would take to like start that journey.
So have you gotten to the point where talking with someone, you can just kind of tell where they fall on that emotional IQ scale?
No. I will say that when I talk to people, I pick out things that I feel that maybe they're good at, or that maybe they need work in. So maybe a little bit, but because of the way the scale works, there's like five different areas and they all kind of work together. So they're like, I can see, you know, as I'm talking to someone, usually through maybe several meetings that they're good at interpersonal relationships or conversations. Or maybe I can see that they're not so great at identifying their own emotions, but maybe they're good at reading other people's emotions. But like overall, not really. I will usually just pick out, you know, little things that kind of stand out. Those red or green flags that we might look for when we meet people, those are the things that like stand out to me.
And that makes a lot of sense too, because a lot of people hide their emotions, especially like you're saying adults, and that kind of shows in other areas.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So what, when somebody is working with you as a coach, what can they expect? How often do you meet with them? And
that's completely up to a client and how much they're ready to dive in. Like some people are really ready for whatever reason, whether they've been doing a little bit of work on their own and they're ready to just really dive in, or they're just interested in what we're talking about and it's making a lot of sense to them, or they just need extra time to, you know, talk it out and process things. Other people are like, this is a lot to take in and I need like 3 weeks to process every time we talk. And so we don't meet as frequently. It just really depends on how they process what's happening.
That's fair. Now, we met through the Mic Drop workshop where we learned all about public speaking. Are you moving forward with your public speaking career?
Very slowly, very slowly. Lots of things have happened personally over the last, I'm going to say, year to 6 months. We've had some ADHD diagnoses in the house that have led us to reevaluate everybody in the house, including a certain parental figure. And so like that has blown open a lot of things. And there's some, you know, I get migraines. There's some health things that are really pushing me. So like I think about it a lot. But like actively doing things, it's pretty slow. But we are making small progress towards it.
That's so good. And I did see on your website that you do have a section for speaking. Can you tell us the name of your presentation? Because I love the whole idea and premise that you have going on with this.
It's Adulting Sucks. And the idea is that it doesn't have to suck if we choose to adult on purpose, meaning we know our values and we know how our emotions affect our values, or how our values affect our emotions, either way, because it does go both ways. We can use that information to make purposeful choices in our lives that make adulting a lot more fun. For me, that means indulging my, oh my gosh. For me, that means indulging my inner child in ridiculous ways, like Bluey. And my husband got me a Lego skate for my birthday, and I sat downstairs putting together a Lego skate, like ridiculous things. But that's how I kind of live on purpose.
I have a Bob Ross Deadpool. So, I mean, yeah, I totally understand.
Nice. Yeah. So for me, living on purpose and making my adulting not suck is by, you know, healing my inner child and honoring the ways that my inner child needs to play now because they didn't get to play when they were a kid. So.
Like you ever see online where they talk about, I have adult money and I can do whatever I want with these things. So yeah. You might as well just enjoy and do some fun things with that.
The recent one for me is some audio is going around that's like, I never understood when I was a kid that adults had their own houses and their own money, and yet they still painted their walls white and all of their furniture matched. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like when I was a kid, that I was like, why don't we paint things? And why don't we have more fun with what, like, why don't we have swings in our house? And
yes.
And now I have hammocks in my house and it's nuts.
I love that. That sounds like so much fun. So what are some takeaways, some other takeaways that people can get from your presentation?
The main takeaways from my presentation are recognizing the places where your values are not aligning with your action. And that's a really big one. It sounds really simple, but it's a really big and difficult one because a lot of people inherit values from their childhood and from their upbringing that they don't even realize they have, and that are like affecting how they move through the world and they don't even realize it. So it sounds simple, but it can be really difficult. So knowing your values and living towards your values and making your choices on purpose to reflect your values. For me, the value is fun, which comes from, you know, healing and honoring my inner child. And so the second part of my talk is sort of about like just diving into that, like not necessarily being afraid of it, right? Knowing it is one thing, but then actually taking action on it is a whole other step that a lot of people don't even get to.
It sounds like it's a lot of self-awareness and then also being intentional with your time and what you're doing.
Very much so. Yeah. I think you cannot be intentional unless you are aware of what is going on here. Otherwise, you think you're being intentional, but you're actually not.
And like as adults, we get so wrapped up in being busy and doing the next thing that we're just in autopilot and we don't even take the time to self-evaluate.
Very much so. Yeah.
Now, you worked summer camps before and in classrooms. What have been some of your favorite activities to teach outdoors?
You know, my absolute favorite thing that I ever taught outdoors was at a summer camp in Pennsylvania. It was on like 11,000 acres. It was massive, massive. There's a bog like on the acreage. And so one of the things that we taught was a bog hike. We would take it was in Pennsylvania. So kids would come up from New York City and Jersey and whatnot. And they would come up from the schools and they would spend 3 days with their teachers or whatever. And these kids have like never been in the forest before. The most outdoors they've gotten is maybe recess or a park. And so now they're like in the actual woods. And so I would take them on this bog hike and we would talk about the levels of the forest. We would talk about growth. We would talk about animals. And I loved that hike, not for any of those reasons. I love that hike because someone would always, every time we started that hike, they would ask me, what do we do if we see a bear? Every time. That was the big fear. And so like, first of all, we'd spent, you know, all of our time explaining to them that like, we are this creature of 20 heads and 40 feet moving through the forest, making a lot of noise. The bears are not coming near us. They're hearing us long before we get there and they're taking off. They're so scared of us and what we might be. If we do see a bear though, you're going to say, oh my gosh, a bear. And while you are running to safety, I am going to leap into action. I'm going to run at that bear. I'm going to jump on the bear and I'm going to tackle it to the ground. And while I'm doing that, your job is to run. If I tackle the bear and you do not run, that's on you that we all got eaten.
I mean, if you told me that, I'm going to be ready with my camera and I'm going to be taking pictures because I don't know that you're going to win that fight.
See, this is the beauty of back in the day. The most anybody had was a camp camera. There were no cell phones. So it was all like, this is what I'm going to do for you. Spoiler alert, I never once had to wrestle a bear. But telling that like scenario put everyone at ease as we walked into the forest, that it was my favorite thing because it was so easy to just like let them realize how ridiculous the whole thing was. And then they were like, okay, let's go in the forest.
Using a funny story to ease everybody's mind. That's genius. I love it. Did they have a favorite animal when you guys were hiking?
You mean like the campers?
Yeah. Or you or both.
You know, we didn't like encounter a lot of animals because like I said, we're a huge group of children. And so we made a lot of noise. So animals tended to be gone. But we would inevitably always find evidence of animals, like spots where trees were broken or fur caught in sap where a bear might have like scratched its back or something like that. And that was always really fun because they're already scared about the bear. Mm-hmm. And I've already told them I'm willing to wrestle the bear. And then we get into the bog and we're on like this two plank thing going through the moss, right? And then I say, oh my gosh, do you guys see this tree? Tell me what you notice about this tree, right? And we're noticing, and someone will all inevitably find the little hairs in the sap. And I'll be like, those are bear hairs. And they would immediately like, are you going to have to wrestle the bear? And I'm like, I don't know. I guess we'll see. But so like, we never really saw any animals. I don't think we even encountered like birds or anything because we were just too noisy.
Well, the point is they were outside.
They were.
It's not a fun.
Yes. And for a lot of them, like just knowing, seeing the physical evidence of an animal, having been in the same place that they were, was like, you know, because do you know that there are deer walking around the neighborhood? Maybe. Probably not if you're an inner city kid. You know, do you see the pigeons? Maybe, but you're not going to see evidence. You're not going to find a blue jay feather, you know? Mm-hmm. And so those moments where they could like see the physical evidence of animals having been in this exact space was pretty great.
That's awesome. And then they could like, they could touch the feather or the moss and really interact. And I could totally tell that you've worked with children because you whisper. And when you whisper, you get their attention better than if you were to yell.
Yes, very much so.
Now, have you always loved nature, or do you have a point where you kind of got away from being in nature? And did you have some sort of pivot point that kind of led you back to appreciating nature?
I did not grow up an outdoorsy kid. I spent most of my childhood in Southern California and then in Arizona. And, you know, with the cactus, I was not spending a lot of time outside. And it wasn't until I started working at summer camps and like going away to these different places that I started to realize, oh, like there are these places that I see on TV and whatnot, like they exist, they're real. Like the whole world isn't desert and cactus. Like I knew that, but you don't really know it, right? And so I wasn't really, even once I started working in the outdoor programs, I still wasn't really an outdoor person. Like I did it because I enjoyed the camaraderie of camp. I enjoyed the songs. I enjoyed, you know, all of the stuff that came with it. But my second season in Pennsylvania, I did a summer and then I stayed for the fall season. And that was when I did like the outdoor Ed in the Bog hike. But during that fall season, I was on a horse ride. Somebody was sick, and so I had to like bring up the tail end of a trail ride. And it was starting to be fall, and it was all beautiful. And I just remember being on the horse on this trail. I'm at the end, so there's a long line of horses and people on it in front of me. And the wind just went through the trees, and all of the orange and yellow leaves just like, it was so quintessential. I was just sitting there on the horse, like in my own little world, like, literally the leaves like slowed down as they crossed the trail in the breeze, and I didn't hear anybody else in front of me, and it was just like time stopped for a moment, and I was like, wow, like it sounds so simple, and it was very quick. It didn't take a long time, except in my own mind where time stopped. But that was when I was like, I want to actively do more outside things, like not just camp because it happens to be outside, you know? And so I started like actively looking for hikes and waterfalls and, you know, all the outdoor places that I could get to. Since then, it's kind of been consistent. I mean, I have kids, so it's nothing's ever really consistent. But it's been a very regular, like if I'm starting to feel like bogged down or I'm starting to feel disconnected, it's like, we need to go on a hike. Where are we going to go this weekend? Let's figure it out.
I got chills, by the way, when you were telling me that story. That sounds beautiful and so peaceful. And would you say that's your favorite experience in nature?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, do you have a favorite spot in the world that you love to go?
In the world? There's been a lot of discussion about this in my house because for a very long time, it has been tied this is going to sound so ridiculous, between Disneyland and hiking in Hawaii. And it's just recently in like the last 6 months that I'm like, okay, if my husband came to me and said, hey, I have two job offers. One is in California and, you know, one is in Irvine. We're going to be right next to Disneyland. And one is in Hawaii. I would choose Hawaii because of the year-round hiking ability. In Connecticut, which is where we are now, there are beautiful things, but in order to hike in the winter, you have to have all the gear, which for a perimenopausal woman is frustrating because I'm hot, but I'm cold, and I'm cold, but I'm hot. And so it's actually like very almost debilitating to try and hike here all year round, whereas in Hawaii, you don't have that problem. And there were so many places. We were there for 3 years, and there were, I think, of all the hikes we did, there was maybe two that I was like, meh, I don't want to do this one again. All the rest were like, yes, I will do this anytime you want. And like, I don't care. You call me. If I'm eating dinner, I will stop and pack up my kids and we will come hike with you. Like, I don't care. So like you could pick any pillbox hike or any waterfall hike. Likake Falls was one of my favorites because it's muddy and it's mostly flat. And there were two little falls at the end, where the kids would like try to climb up, and it was just a very chill, you know, not super spectacular, but also very like immersive, I guess, because of the different like terrain you have to go through to get over to the falls. That's probably like my favorite.
Between Connecticut and Hawaii, I guess in Connecticut you have lots of elevation. You can train.
Yeah.
Hawaii.
We went a couple weeks ago. We went back to this spot where we've been a couple times, and it's a little pond and there's a trail that goes around the pond. I'm like, oh, let's just go do the pond hike. Okay, cool. We hadn't been there in a while. And on the back end of the pond, there's a really good hill. And I was like, Oh my God. I did not remember the hill. And I almost died because like I'm taking off jackets and my husband's like holding my hand as I come down the hill because I'm like drenched in sweat. So yeah, it's a little bit different hiking in Connecticut and in this stage of life, as we say.
Yeah. I just went last week to Crystal River and I was swimming with the manatees and getting in the water. It's year round. It's around 72 degrees, but I was still freezing. And I'm like, I do not remember being this cold. And it's always the same every year. I just block it out because the experience is so beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
How can people find you? Are you on social media and what's your website?
So my website is moosehavenholisticcoaching.com. I am on Instagram and TikTok. I don't know how active I'm going to be in those spaces. I'm very disenchanted with the entire algorithm process. So that's a whole personal battle that I'm recently starting to try to figure out. So, but I am there. And it's a good way to, you know, see some emotional intelligence content. If you're just kind of like, oh, what is this about? Like, I don't even understand. That would be a good place. There's some back catalog at the very least. If I'm not active going forward as much, there's a back catalog of some stuff that could be interesting.
Yeah, I totally understand you about the social media. I feel like I'm screaming into a void sometimes. I'm like, I'll spend hours editing one video. I'm like, this was gold. And then two people see it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And it's extra frustrating. So to spend all that time and not have any like actual yield from it, I'm like, I would just rather, you know, go find stuff to do and like talk to people old school.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Especially being entrepreneurs, you're working on your business and then you got to do all the social media aspect. Like, I'd rather face to face. That's the best way to go.
Yeah. Sure.
But I'm a glutton for punishment when it comes to posting on social media. So before we go, do you have a tip for someone that would like to connect with nature?
I would say that the tip that I would give is the tip that I use myself. When I am feeling disconnected from anything, life, family, doesn't matter. I will just start very small. I mentioned earlier, you know, packing up the family and just getting on a hike. But that's not always possible. we have tons of people that live in our house and there's always something going on. And so sometimes it's just as simple as walking the dog with my husband. When he says, "Hey, do you want to walk the dog?" I say yes instead of no, even though it's kind of cold outside. And even though it means I have to put on the extra layer, just getting outside and having the fresh air. And sometimes it just means opening my front door in the morning and just standing there with the fresh air. You know, it can be as little as that, just that much outdoorness can drastically change my day.
It's an excellent tip. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
And until next time, get outside and see what develops.
Thanks for joining Wild Development Studio. We hope this exploration into the world of wildlife arts and adventure has sparked a desire to get outside and connect with something wild. If you have an adventure that's awe-inspiring, don't hesitate to share. Click the link in the description to submit your story to have it featured on our show or be a guest. Until next time, keep connecting to the wild and see what develops. The views, opinions, and statements expressed by individuals during Wild Development Studio Productions do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Wild Development Studio or its affiliates. Participation in any activities, expeditions, or adventures discussed or promoted during our content may involve inherent risks. It is strongly advised that individuals conduct thorough research, seek professional guidance, and take all necessary precautions before engaging in any such activities. Wild Development Studio, its representatives, or employees shall not be held responsible for any injury, loss, damage, accident, or unforeseen incident that may occur as a result of participating in activities inspired by or discussed in our content. By choosing to engage with our content or act upon any information provided, individuals do so at their own risk and discretion.